Now, Father God, as we turn to your word, we pray that you would just encourage our hearts this evening with that word. As we think of Gideon and the challenges that you gave to him and his response to those, we pray, Father God, that we would have the same response when you call us. Indeed, that we'd have the response of an Isaiah who said, "Here am I, send me." Lord, we want to be your faithful servants. So encourage us, teach us through your word this evening, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible this evening, Judges chapter 6, and we begin at verse 25. Judges 6. In our evenings, we are looking at a series called Fallen People and Faithful God. And we're taking our time looking at the various judges. Gideon commands an awful lot of verses compared to those who have gone before. So we're splitting his story up a little bit, and I got further split up a little bit this week in the study as I got halfway through the passage and realised I was already over my allotted time. You know what your pastor's like, he's long-winded. So he cut it in half to be kind for you this evening. I say kind, you can be the judge of that as we go on. But it's God's word, and it's here to encourage our hearts. Judges 6 and 25. That same night the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering." So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, "Who did this?" When they carefully investigated, they were told, "Gideon, son of Joash, did it." The men of the town demanded of Joash, "Bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, "Are you trying to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." So that day they called Gideon Jerub-Baal, saying, "Let Baal contend with him, because he broke down Baal's altar." Now all the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, summoning the Abiezerites to follow him. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, calling them to arms, and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, so that they too went up to meet them. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said." And that's what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." And that night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Amen. This is God's word for us this evening. The world famous Polish piano maestro, Ignacio Paderewski. And if your Polish is better than mine, you can correct me afterwards. Paderewski had been invited to appear at one of the great music centres in New York. It was a very formal evening with everyone wearing tuxedos and evening gowns. In the audience was a lady who brought her little boy along for the concert. She thought that if he could just hear Paderewski play the piano, the experience might spur him on to begin to practice a little bit more each day after school. As they were waiting for the performance to begin, the mother quickly noticed friends beside her and turned round to begin to talk to them. The little boy seized the opportunity. He managed to wiggle out of his seat unnoticed and headed down the aisle. He quietly made his way up the steps and across the stage to the piano. He climbed up on the piano stool and he began to play Chopsticks. The well-starched audience was horrified. As they heard the simple tune, the crowd responded first with stone-cold silence, then murmuring, and then finally a few shouts. Whose kid is that? What's the meaning of this? I didn't buy a ticket to hear this noise. Doesn't that child have parents? The tingling notes and the commotion reached the ears of Paderewski backstage. When he figured out what was going on, he made his way onto the stage. Paying no attention to the crowd, he moved behind the little boy. He reached around him and he placed his own two hands on the keys and he began to play with the child. While the boy played that simple tune, the master built a rich accompanying melody to embellish the simple tune. All the while, he stood down to whisper in the boy's ears, "Don't stop now, son. Keep going. That's it. Keep it up. Keep playing. You can do it." You know, in a very real sense, what Paderewski did for that little boy that day, God does for each and for every one of us every day of our lives. When God calls us into action, when he calls us into his service, he whispers his encouragement in our ear that we might keep going for him. And you know what amazes me? That he still today takes ordinary people like me and like you and does amazing things through them, all the while whispering, "Keep going. You can do it." Last week, we thought on Gideon's call to action and saw some of the circumstances into which he was called. The people were repeating the cycle. They had done evil once more. They were under oppression and under suffering. And God commissioned Gideon to go, assuring him of his presence with him. But poor Gideon was all confused. "Why me?" he asked. And we saw how God confirmed his call to action by showing him his presence, his power, and his peace. This week, we get to see Gideon challenges, fears, and doubts. God has called him into action. And now we see two challenges and tests, one from God and one from Gideon himself. And in this, we see how God is still patiently encouraging the one he has called into action, preparing him for a bigger battle to come. Through this, we get to see Gideon's fears and doubts come to the surface and God encourage him through those. And I hope tonight that we too will be prepared for the challenges God will bring as he continues to prepare us for service, and that we will be encouraged that he stands beside us and whispers in our ears to keep going despite our doubts and despite our fears. The passage neatly fits into two halves, starting with the battle within before moving on to the battle out with. And so tonight we get to look at the battle within, get rid of rivals. And next week we'll have a little think about getting ready for battle itself. Before we can truly serve God in the wider battles he has called us to, we have to deal with the struggles and particularly the sin that is within. God will not play second fiddle to anyone. He deserves, he demands, in fact he commands at first place in our lives. He wants us to be serious about him. And the same is true for Gideon and for the people of Israel. And so we see the request, first of all, to remove and to replace. In verse 25, we read that the very same night of Gideon's call to action, God comes to him and makes a request of him. He says, "Take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it." Here's the first part of the request. He is to remove false idols. He is called to deal with the sin within his own family and indeed within the town and among the people of Israel. Notice that Gideon is told to take his father's second bull. He's going to ask him in verse 26 to sacrifice that bull on the altar. Now, as we well know with our dealings with Scripture, God normally calls and expects the first and the best to be offered on the altar of sacrifice. So why not here? Well, can I humbly suggest that this is because Gideon's father, Joash, has already used the first bull as a sacrifice. It would appear that he has taken the first bull and offered it on the altar to Baal. Notice that the second bull, 7 years old it is. Remember, we read in verse 1 that for 7 years God gave them into the hands of the Midianites. That bull, the second one, was born the year the people were handed over to their enemy. So here I think we see a call from the people to get their lives back on track. A call to remember God and commit themselves afresh to Him. Gideon is then challenged to tear down the altar to Baal and the Asherah pole beside it. Baal, if you don't know, was the Canaanite god of fertility. The Canaanites believed that Baal was responsible for the success or failure of their herds and their crops. They did everything in their power to worship Baal and ensure his blessings. Asherah was Baal's female consort. Worshippers practiced vital sexual acts near the poles. They believed that these acts would bring Baal's favour upon them and their families. And notice it's referred to here as your father's altar to Baal. It appears that Gideon's own father is responsible for this. And so, friends, sometimes we need to deal with the rivals within our own families first. In fact, sometimes our families actually become like gods to us, and we put them first. Now, of course, we have to respect our families. We have to love them. We have to give of our very best for them and to look after them. That's why God has given us family. That's what we're encouraged to do. We need to have family loyalty. But our true loyalty has to first and foremost be to God alone. And sometimes that will mean saying, I can't come with you to that thing, whether it's a reunion or a football game or whatever it happens to be. I can't come with you on a Sunday morning because you know how much I love Jesus and I'll be in church worshipping Him. Or I can't go with you to that place because of what it stands for or the trouble associated with it. Too often God takes the back burner in our lives. Oh, He'll understand, we convince ourselves. Listen, if we're going to put God first, it needs to begin at home. Gideon is called to remove the symbols of false gods from among them. He needs to start in his own backyard. And please hear me when I say all of that. Family is important, okay? You need to love your family. You need to care for your family. You need to bring them up well. But just make sure that you don't push God out in the process of doing that. The request, remove and replace. So having removed the altar and the pole, what is he to replace them with? Well, verse 26, then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. What a challenge. Remove what displeases God and replace it with a reminder that we are to honour God above all else. He's to have first place in our life always. The call from Gideon is for them to honour God, the creator and sustainer of the world. It's to honour God, the one who led them out of slavery in Egypt and into the promised land. The call is to honour the one who called them not to worship any other gods. They're to, in a sense, put off the old and to put on the new. And where have we heard that before? New Testament, at the words of Paul to the Colossians, put to death your earthly nature, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness, put off the old clothes and put on the new. Colossians 3:9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Colossians 3:9 there. But here Gideon is called to destroy the altar to Baal and the pole. And then he's called to build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God. He's to take the wood from the pole and he's to burn it on the new altar he is making for God. They are indeed to get rid of the old ways, the rivals, and look to God alone.
And notice what's actually happening here, because I think sometimes we miss this bit in the excitement of Gideon tearing down all of this and wondering what's going to happen next. What's actually happening here is a burnt offering has been given to God. What were burnt offerings designed for under the law? They were intended to deal with the sin of the people, to make atonement for sin. They were for the people to show that they wanted to renew their relationship with God. And that's what these people at this time needed. And certainly what they, whether they wanted it or not, they needed that. And of course they were wanting that because they were crying out to God for help and for deliverance. And notice too, as Gideon makes this new altar, that it's built on top of this height. It's high up. It would be visible for everyone to see. If they didn't see the pole destroyed, they would certainly see the smoke rising from the altar. Gideon was to build his altar to make his sacrifice on top of a hill because God did not want what he was about to do to be hidden away. And in the same way, God wants our worship and our service to him to be done out in the open for all to see. We must never be ashamed of him and of what he calls us to do. Many are in our day. Very few are vocal and visible in the worship and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We all should be. May he help us to honour him by the way we worship and the way that we work this week. A request. Remove and replace. God is challenging Gideon. He's preparing him for the battle to come. And he starts with a small battle within the town among his own people. Now we get to see the response. Fear and faithfulness. What will Gideon do? How will the wimp in the winepress respond to God? Well, notice his faithfulness. Somebody's too excited. He does what God asks. He obeys the command. He knows what needs done in order to point his people back to God. Verse 27. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. Gideon didn't wait around. He didn't debate with himself or with God what needed done. He simply obeyed. How unlike Gideon we are though, aren't we? Maybe I'm generalizing too much. Maybe I'm just thinking on my own life and my own situations during my life. I felt God's call to ministry but kept putting it off. I'm not good enough. Let someone better do it. Show me a sign. Make it a big sign. And as I thought on that this week, aren't we just like the heroes of the faith in the Bible that we read of? Like Moses, we make the excuses that we can't do it. Or like Moses, we make the suggestion that the Lord finds somebody else who's better than us to do it. Or like Jonah, we run from the call of God, knowing full well that our disobedience dishonors him and that he will have his way in the end. We've all been there, I'm sure, to one extent or to another. Oh, that we would be like Isaiah, who heard the call of God in the year that King Uzziah died in Isaiah 6 and said, "Here am I, send me." And that is what Gideon does. Oh, he's got fears. We'll think about those in a moment. But he doesn't let his fears paralyze him. He doesn't let them stop him. He's been promised God's presence, God's power and God's peace. So he sets to work and he takes 10 of his servants with him for support and for help to carry out the task. Friends, if God calls you to go, then rely on that promise that he goes with you. He said to Gideon in verse 16, "I will be with you." Jesus himself in Matthew 28, we thought about it last week. He said, "I will be with you always." Trust it. Rely upon it. When God makes a request, may we have the courage of Gideon to respond in faith and to get our sleeves rolled up and to get to work. But although he's faithful and obedient, notice that Gideon, as he goes, he does display some fear as well. And that's a natural thing. He's standing up against his family and against his fellow townspeople. He's about to destroy an idol they've worshipped for some time, at least 7 years in all likelihood. He's standing against the schemes of the devil and saying, "God alone demands all of our love, all of our attention, all of our worship." And because of this, he's afraid. And so verse 27, the second half. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. Gideon could have done all this by day, but because of the fear, he decided to do it in the dark when everyone was safely tucked up in bed. He tried to hide his obedience to the Lord under the cover of darkness. He knew his father, his family, his fellow townspeople would be angry with him for tearing down the altar to Baal. He knew they would probably try and kill him, but Gideon had faith. It was small. He allowed fear to control his actions, but he still went and got on with it. And I'm sure that most of us would be honest enough to say that we serve the Lord out of fear too at times. Oh, we have the faith to believe him for what he wants us to do, but we fear our own failures. We fear the consequences of our decisions. We fear the people who know us and live around us. We fear our inabilities. Listen, use that fear to allow you to rely fully on God. We cannot do everything he calls us to do in our strength, and that is a great thing. For then we come to look to God for the victory. You know, I often sit and think on a Saturday night as I'm looking over the Sunday morning or Sunday evening sermon, I can't do this. And that is a great thing, because it drives me to my knees before God, asking him for the strength and the courage to speak and to share all that he has laid upon my heart. It's all about God. David said to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:47, he says, "For the battle is the Lord's. It's not mine. It's not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Success in battle is God's alone." What have we to do? We have to respond to his call in faithfulness. We have to submit to him and allow him to do in and through us what he is going to do to achieve all his plans and purposes. Trust God, obey God, serve God. Well, Gideon receives the request to destroy the idols from among them. He responds with fear and with faithfulness to do just that. He might have feared the response of his family and friends, but he's been obedient to God regardless. And now we get to see the result, defended and delivered. Some say that we shouldn't let fear stop us because most of what we fear won't materialize. Ever heard that? Don't be silly. Don't be afraid. Most of what you're afraid of isn't going to happen. Well, it happened for Gideon. What Gideon feared came true. Don't get the idea that the obedient life will be problem-free, because it won't be. We have not been promised an easy life. We have been told that we will suffer just as Christ suffered. Paul in Philippians 1:29 says, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." Peter, 1 Peter 1:6, "In all of this you greatly rejoice, but also for a little while you have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine." People will attack us if we are obedient to God. Expect it. Well, we read it in the morning. The people woke up. They discovered the altar was destroyed. The pole was taken down. The second bull sacrificed on the altar. They made inquiries to see what happened and who was responsible. Verse 29, we read that they carefully investigated, and then they discovered that it was Gideon, son of Joash. The results could be devastating. Gideon is revealed as the perpetrator of this act. The men of the town come to his father. They demand he hands over Gideon to them. They demand that he die for what he has done. But look what happens. See the result of Gideon's faithfulness to God. His father defends him. This is a hostile crowd before him, yet Joash recognizes what Gideon has done. And guess what? Within him, he is reawakened from his spiritual lethargy. He remembers the one true God. He remembers Yahweh. Joash responds to them and says to them in verse 31, "Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you going to try to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar." In essence, Joash is saying to his people, look at the facts. We are in trouble. We've been living in caves and we've been cowering in fear for 7 long years. Yet here you are wanting to keep to business as usual. No, it's time to change. Baal hasn't helped us, and indeed, he can't even help himself. It's time for us to turn back to the true God. Joash defends his son. When Gideon took his obedient stand and honoured the Lord's will in his life, God used it to touch his family. Isn't that an incredible thing? The altar of Baal was in Gideon's father's land. It was his idol. And when Joash saw the faith of his own son, when he saw the inability of Baal to protect himself, he was converted. He was done with his idolatry. He was ready to follow the true and living God. In other words, Gideon's faith was used to deliver his family from spiritual bondage. Now, wouldn't that be a great thing if that happened in all of our families? I would love that to happen. I've been praying for that to happen for years, that somehow through my faithfulness, my family would see God and would respond in faith. It's not happened yet as dramatically as it did for Joash. But we keep praying. We keep praying that our families would see our witness, would see our faithfulness, and would come to see Jesus Christ as their only Saviour. We see Gideon here delivered. God delivers him from what could have been a troublesome moment. Verse 32. So that day they called Gideon Jerub-Baal, saying, let Baal contend with him, because he broke down Baal's altar. What a change, isn't it? One minute they're calling for Gideon's execution, and the next they're giving him a new name, in essence treating him like a hero of sorts. And I want us to notice one last thing. Gideon doesn't say a word. The book of Judges doesn't present him as a courageous, mighty hero. Oh yes, God refers to him tongue-in-cheek as mighty warrior back in verse 12. But he's just like you and like me. Ordinary. But Gideon belonged to an extraordinary God who fought his battles for him. And God will do the same for us when we trust and obey. I had hoped to do a fair chunk more of this tonight so it all fitted together cohesively. But getting rid of our rivals is a good place to stop. And next week we'll think on getting ready for battle. We saw the request to remove and to replace. The old idols had to go. God has to have first place. We saw the response, fear and faithfulness. Gideon was afraid, but he was obedient to God's call to action nevertheless. And we saw the result, defended and delivered. God works in us and through us to achieve great things. He always goes with us. And when we are obedient to him, he will deliver us. Friends, God calls for us to get serious with him. We need to get rid of anything that takes the place of God in our own lives. So take a moment or two before you go home, or when you get home tonight, to sit and think, what is it in my life that keeps coming first? What is it that I need to get rid of? In order that God has first place, we need to remove anything that stops God having ultimate control of our lives. And then we have to be willing to lay our all on the altar before him. He calls us into service. And listen, that's not just for the pastor among you. It's not for the youth worker among you. It's not for the deacons in our midst. God calls each and every one of us into his service. And if you haven't found your place yet, then pray and ask God to reveal it to you, and come and speak to me afterwards and I'll help you find it as well. Don't you worry. He calls us into service and he expects our faithfulness and our obedience. What's holding you back? Is it sin? Then deal with it. Is it fear? Then overcome it with God's strength and serve him fully and faithfully. God longs for us to serve him. Let's this week get going, and let's keep going in his service. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for these words that encourage our hearts so much. We so readily identify with Gideon at times, Father God, because we are afraid. We don't think we're good enough. But Lord, you call us nonetheless, not because of how good we are, but knowing fine well that we can achieve all things through you, with your strength,
So Lord, as you call us to serve you, would you give us the boldness and the courage to do that? Would you help us not to hold anything back, but to lay all on the altar before you? This week, Father God, would you help us to serve you in the variety of ways that we already do? And Lord, if we're not serving, then Lord, would you reveal to us where it is you would have us use the gifts that you have given us, that we might bring glory and honour to you and to you alone. Give us courage, give us faith. Help us to live for you this week, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.